Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is, I promise, the midday show with Andy and Randy, but I am clearly not Andy nor Randy. I'm Mike Conti. I haven't hosted in a long time, but I'm going to try to maybe explain why Andy and Randy aren't here and then to reassure you that they are coming. But we have things that happen sometimes in our business and miscommunications happen. And, well, we had a whopper of a miscommunication this morning. So Bo Johnson is here. Andy and Randy should be here shortly. This will actually be kind of interesting to find out how quickly three people in three different cars can get from Flowery Branch, Georgia, to Midtown Atlanta in rainy conditions, like not dry, not optimal, not speed limit conditions. We're going to see how long it takes. And the clock started about 20 minutes ago, maybe a little less than 20 minutes ago. So maybe they'll be here in 20 minutes. Maybe they'll be here a little longer than that, later than that. Andy and Randy, and I'm Mike Conti, by the way, Bo's with me. Andy and Randy were up in Flowery Branch this morning because our plan was, with the Falcons introducing Jeff Ulbrich, their new defensive coordinator, that we were going to have Andy and Randy interview Jeff Ulbrich in person. And we had a little bit of a miscommunication that made it impossible for us to conduct that interview in person, or in fact to do anything in Flowery Branch this morning. So we have asked Andy and Randy to, as quickly as they can, come back here to our studios. We hope that should be pretty soon. Jeff Ulbrich is still going to be on the show. We're still going to have him. He'll be joining us, we think, around 12 noon, noon-ish. So stay tuned for that as Andy and Randy will get Jeff Ulbrich's thoughts on returning to Atlanta and taking over this Falcons defense. But in the meantime, as they listen helplessly to Bo and I, as they drive back to Atlanta, we will take you through the first couple segments of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. I hope I explained that as calmly and politely as I could.
About as calm and politely as I think that you probably could at this point. I can imagine that there may be some blood boiling, but that does not translate through on the radio.
Well, Steak and I were just talking about this, too, because like it's one of those things where my blood's boiling. Your blood's probably elevated. I don't know if it's boiling, but elevated. Andy and Randy have got to be, you know, just grinding their teeth as they drive back to Atlanta because they had to go quite a bit out of their way to go up to Flowery Branch this morning. They're putting a ton of miles on their respective cars. I feel awful about that, even though it's not my fault. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, I'd be really mad if this were my fault, and I'd just be angry at myself. You know, We have a lot of people that manage a lot of different things here in the building, and just the line of communication broke down. So what I'm hoping is, I know Andy is like a devout speed limit follower. Like because these types of things, unfortunately, they've happened before with Andy and Randy. And usually it's kind of funny. Like Randy, I don't want to say like he drives recklessly, but he definitely drives, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say aggressively because that's negative, but
he doesn't drive aggressively, but he's not afraid to
exceed the speed limit
when he has to.
Yeah, he's not afraid to exceed the speed limit. Andy is a stay alive, drive 55, like
right
all
lane
the way.
10 and 2.
Right lane, yes, exactly, 10 and 2. And won't even think about the peach pass lane or the HOV lane. Like, he is staying in the right lane. So I could foresee a scenario, realistically, where about 20 minutes from now, Randy's coming down the hallway ready to go and coming in hot. And it still might be another segment before Andy gets here. But that's okay because we want our people to be safe. And Bo and I, in the meantime, we will keep the show on the rails. I know on top of everything else, and Jeff Ulbrich's going to be a big part of the show today, I know that we are all so anxious to break down this Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. Because that's really what we were all clamoring for, right? I mean,
100%.
Yeah. The one thing I kept thinking last night watching the Chiefs-Bills game is, you know, I don't think we as a football public have gotten enough of the Chiefs. I really want to see more of the Chiefs. You know, I'm very, very compelled by and entertained by the Chiefs because you just don't get a lot of them. And boy, they always have to overcome so much adversity. It feels like nothing ever goes their way, and they overcome adversity all the time. Of course, I'm being completely sarcastic. I sense that there is not going to be a lot of buzz for another Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl, the second in the last 3 years, even though the one they played 2 years ago was a great game that went down to the, you know, basically final second. There was some officiating controversy in that one, too. I do, like, take the sarcasm off now. I feel awful for the Buffalo Bills. I feel awful for the city of Buffalo and their fans. Like, that city has been tortured from a sporting standpoint for the last 50 years. Not just in the NFL. They had an NBA team, the Braves, that moved out of town. You know, the Buffalo Sabres of the National Hockey League, I think they have the longest currently active National Hockey League playoff drought right now. And the last time they got really close to winning the Stanley Cup, they had a bad call go against them. You know, the Bills, obviously, they went to 4 Super Bowls in the 90s, which is maybe even more difficult than winning 1 Super Bowl, is getting to 4 in a row. And obviously, they didn't win any of them. And what stands out to me about Buffalo is, like, they're not playing poorly in these head-to-head matchups that they always lose against Kansas City. Like, someone had a great stat on Twitter last night. If you look at what Josh Allen has done against the Kansas City Chiefs in his career, regular season and postseason, he hasn't made catastrophic mistakes. He hasn't had bad games. He hasn't even had average games against the Chiefs. He's been really, really good. He was 22 of 34 last night with 2 touchdowns and also ran for 89 yards. But whether it's just bad luck or wrong place, wrong time, it really feels like when the New York Knicks were trying to get past Jordan in the playoffs every year, and you just kept hitting your head against the ceiling because you were never, ever going to be able to beat Jordan, even though in any other year, and probably in any other era, you had a championship-caliber team. And it's got to be frustrating not just to the Buffalo Bills, but probably everyone else in the AFC right now. What do we have to do to get past these guys? What do we have to do to figure out the Kansas City Chiefs? Aside from the fact that the Chiefs seem to get significant breaks in every single close game they play that has any kind of meaning. I'm not saying that there's any shenanigans going on. I don't think the league benefits by conspiring to put the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Kansas City is one of the smaller TV markets in the league. You know, this isn't like the NBA conspiracy theories where they're going to conspire maybe to put the Lakers in the fight. No, I mean, like, the NFL doesn't need to conspire to put anyone in the Super Bowl. Everyone is going to watch the Super Bowl. So I don't buy into this notion that the refs are biased in favor of the Chiefs. I think maybe they could be incompetent in some ways, and the Chiefs are continuing to benefit. But, man, oh, man, it's just got to be frustrating. If you're the Buffalo Bills or the Baltimore Ravens or the Houston Texans or some of these teams in the AFC, the LA Chargers maybe even, you know, the Broncos, I think, have a bright future with Bo Nix and Sean Payton. But you got to look at it with a lot of despair. Like, what can we do to get past these guys? This is a machine right now. And I saw they opened as a 1.5-point favorite over Philadelphia. That line feels like that's going to go up to me. Philadelphia, in kind of the appetizer, I don't think a lot of people were paying nearly as much attention to that Philadelphia-Washington game as they were the AFC championship. But Philadelphia scored 55 points yesterday to beat the Commanders. What's funny about that game, 55-23 was the final. Washington had numerous opportunities to make that game close, keep it close, or even win it. Jaden Daniels, I thought, played phenomenally well. He had an interception in garbage time. But the Commanders, up until maybe the point where garbage time started, had four turnovers that turned into 28 points for Philadelphia, and nothing was Jaden Daniels' fault. I really do think that Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn are going to be a problem for the NFC in years to come. But now, you know, you get this matchup with Philadelphia and Washington, and maybe Philadelphia can get the ground game established with Saquon Barkley and keep it close. It's hard for me to imagine and understand why it's been set at only a point and a half right now. This, to me, feels like a game where the Chiefs will probably, if I were putting money on it, I would think the Chiefs would probably win this game by 10-plus. It's not a Super Bowl I'm, like, super looking forward to, but it is the Super Bowl, and we will have it for you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It'll be Sunday, February 9th at 2 p.m. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. P-A-D-L-Y buys.com. Again, if you're just joining us, I'm clearly not Andy Bunker, nor Randy McMichael. Mike Conti, Bo Johnson, we're getting you through the opening minutes of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy as Andy and Randy rush their way back, one of them rushing, the other going the speed limit, from Flowery Branch. Jeff Ulbrich, Falcons defensive coordinator, is coming up within the next hour. Andy and Randy should be here within the next hour to conduct that interview. When we come back, we'll look at what's trending. A lot of it has to do with the upcoming Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Eagles, but we had Hawks action over the weekend. The Hawks playing again tonight. Atlanta United played as well. A lot going on in the sports community here in Atlanta, and we'll get to it with what's trending coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Pitches it out to Barkley, takes off to the outside. He's at the 50, he's at the 40, he's at the 30, he's going to go! 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 60 yards on his opening touch.
They don't give me a vote for MVP, but I know who my vote would be. That's probably why they don't give me a vote, because I would vote for Saquon. But performance, special player, special job by the entire group to make that play go, to start things off, and that was a good tone setter.
The voices of Merrill Reese, the longtime play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, and Nick Sirianni, who in week three looked like he was about to get fired in Philadelphia. Now the Eagles are in the Super Bowl to play the Kansas City Chiefs in 2 weeks. Eagles beating the Washington Commanders 55-23 on Sunday. Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Again, if you're just joining us, Andy and Randy en route back to the studio. We had an issue with doing our show up in Flowery Branch today, which is what we intended to do. Jeff Ulbrich, who we still will interview coming up in the noon hour, the new defensive coordinator for the Falcons. So that all is to come. I feel good, by the way. I'm biased because of my, you know, Penn State roots and connections and all that, but very happy for Saquon Barkley. Still have no idea how Penn State could not win a national championship, or even, for that matter, a Rose Bowl without a talent of his caliber. But he's going to the Super Bowl for the first time. What are they thinking in that New York Giants building today? I'm sure they've probably had their reckoning by now. But for them to let him walk away to a divisional rival, and he and Jalen Hurts lead them to the Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts now saying, it's not just one thing to get to the Super Bowl. He had a chance to win it 2 years ago. Now they've got to finish the job this year.
You know, I can't do any of those things without the guys around me, the preparation we put in. We've got to finish it.
They almost won it 2 years ago. I was watching some highlights from that game this morning on Twitter. Philadelphia had control of that game at a couple different points. There was even a point, if I remember correctly, late in the first half where it looked like Mahomes may have gotten hurt. Philadelphia was up by 10. You thought, actually, that might end up being kind of a convincing Philadelphia win. And, of course, the Chiefs, as they always seem to do, they came back and won it. Jaden Daniels, what a rookie season for him, leading the Commanders to the NFC Championship game. The loss yesterday, not on him. He talks about his feelings after yesterday's game.
Just savor this moment with the people in the locker room. You know, every year, every locker room is different. So, you know, we earned the right to be here. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, it just sucks. I don't want to have a feeling like this again. But, you know, you got to deal with it and, you know, move on from it.
He was incredible yesterday, I thought. Again, Washington had 5 turnovers. The first 4 were not his fault. The 5th one was an interception. In deep garbage time where he was trying to get something going. I thought he played phenomenally yesterday, and he was giving Philadelphia a lot of problems, especially early in that game. Philadelphia was only really rushing 4 because they were concerned about him running past their pass rush, basically, which is what happened a couple times. Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn, I know there's very mixed feelings and emotions about Dan Quinn here in Atlanta. That duo, along with, you know, Terry McLaurin and whoever else they can keep that group intact, that's going to be a problem for the NFC for a long time. And I'm not saying that, you know, the window is shut on the Lions or obviously the Eagles, who still have a Super Bowl to go out and play. But Washington is going to be a very, very tough out for years to come, as long as Jaden Daniels stays healthy. I was really, really impressed with him, his poise all year. Yesterday, even when it looked like the Commanders were going to get run out of the building a few times, they called a fake punt in the first half that put him right back in it. He just got let down by fumbles, and it was special teams turnovers, too. It wasn't just by the offense. It was special teams as well. So Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, they'll play Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes will be going for the three-peat. He now has won the 2nd most postseason games by a quarterback ever.
Yeah, it's obviously really cool. That's your goal, is to win in the postseason. But I've been blessed to be in a lot of great football teams with a lot of great coaches and a great organization. And I just try to maximize every moment, because you never know when it's going to be your last one. I know I'm a long way from Tom, so I'll try to do whatever I can to get close to that.
Well, Mahomes had 245 yards passing and a touchdown, and then ran for 2 additional touchdowns. Meanwhile, the Bills, like I talked about at the top of the show, I'm not a Bills fan. I never really grew up feeling much affinity for the Bills. I mean, they were always an exciting team when I was a kid, but never really grew up as a Bills fan or a fan of Buffalo sports in general. But, boy, you just feel so bad for them. And what was crazy was the Bills still had an opportunity to tie or win the game at the end of regulation. There was this crazy 4th down play, if you didn't see it, where Kansas City brought an unusual blitz that Josh Allen rolled into, and basically he had 3 guys in his face, so he just threw it up off his back foot, and it landed in the arms of Dalton Kincaid, and he could not hold on and make the catch. Here's what Sean McDermott said about that.
Yeah, no, he gave it everything he had. I can't. I love Dalton Kincaid, and sometimes those work out. He makes more of those than he doesn't, and he'll make the next one.
If he makes that catch, it's one of the all-time plays in NFL playoff history. But he didn't, and the Bills then they could not stop the Chiefs. Chiefs basically iced the game with 2 first downs, and that was it. Now Kansas City goes to the Super Bowl to play Philadelphia. Kansas City, as I mentioned earlier, going into that game as a 1.5-point favorite. Meanwhile, the Hawks, coming off a loss Saturday night, a blowout loss to the Toronto Raptors. They were shorthanded, 117-94. Trae Young had only 4 assists. DeAndre Hunter did not play due to an illness. Jalen Johnson out and is going to be out, it looks like, for a while, although the Hawks have not put a timetable on it yet. Quinn Snyder was asked after the game on Saturday why his team struggled so badly.
You know, we started the game really well. The way that they guarded us, particularly, you know, face guarding Trae all over the floor, that's something, you know, that you're aware of. It happened the last time we played him, something we talked about, a shoot around. You know, that had an impact. And then I think also, you know, some guys are in unfamiliar situations, having some guys out.
So now the Hawks have lost four in a row, and they have a very busy week. They play a back-to-back tonight at Minnesota, tomorrow at home against Houston. Then they play Thursday at Cleveland, the team with the best record in the league. Then Saturday at Indiana, and Monday at Detroit, a team that just beat them at State Farm Arena. So this could get pretty ugly pretty quickly for the Hawks. However, they brought Keaton Wallace up. He'll, I assume, play tonight in Minnesota. Trey is out. Jalen Johnson is out. Zachary Risashe may be back, but the Hawks are going to be miserably shorthanded tonight against a Timberwolves team that's been very disappointing themselves this year. But this is going to be a very tough game for the Hawks tonight. But you can hear it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 7:30 the pregame, 8 o'clock will be the tip-off. And then, like I said, tomorrow, right back home against Houston. So hopefully whatever Trae Young's injury issue is will be short-lived. Trae is not one to miss games unless he is really, really hurting. So hopefully whatever it is with Trae is addressed short-term and the Hawks can kind of get back on their feet, because this is a team that just a week ago was looking good to stay in the top six in the East. They were a couple games over 500 at the midway point of the season, but this team has been lousy all year when they have been shorthanded. They're excellent when they are at full strength. Ask the Cavaliers and the Celtics and the Knicks about that. But when you take one or two pieces out of this lineup, especially a huge piece like Jalen Johnson or Trae Young, and it can be really, really rough. But we'll see what happens tonight. They went into Chicago last Wednesday really shorthanded, and the G League guys, Keaton Wallace and Daquan Plownum, got them out of the fire. Atlanta United played a preseason game over the weekend. They lost to Chattanooga FC of MLS Next Pro 2-1 on Saturday. Wouldn't read a whole lot into that. It was more of a fitness test for Atlanta United than anything else. They're in the very, very early days of training camp. Their complete roster is not yet in place. Lots of reports today about Miguel Almiron and that deal being complete, bringing him back from Newcastle. The club has not yet confirmed that, but it certainly sounds like it is imminent, unless the reporting, and they're from good sources, unless the reporting has been totally messed up. And that's going to be an extremely exciting move for Atlanta United. I know their supporters will be super fired up to have Miguel Almiron potentially back for the regular season opener, which is now less than a month away, if you can believe that. Saturday, February 22nd, when they host Montreal at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They're going to play another preseason game this Saturday. It'll be in Birmingham. No radio for that, but you can watch that on atlutd.com/live. Plenty more to come on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. The last update I got from Abe at the start of the segment, they were at Indian Trail. So I am thinking probably at some point in this next segment, you're going to hear, and it's going to sound just, it's going to sound really interesting. You're probably going to have Andy here for, I'm sorry, Andy will be last. Randy will be here first. You're going to hear the door swing open here in the studio, and Randy's coming in hot. And the name's probably going to be next. And then at some point we'll get Andy here once he's done going the speed limit. But stay tuned, because we are going to talk to new Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Albrecht, who the guys got to meet in person this morning and then got the pleasure of being able to drive back here and talk about it, because, again, we had a little snafu today with our show up in Flowery Branch. But it's all good. Mike Conte, Bo Johnson filling in for Andy and Randy until they get here imminently on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Mike Conte filling in for Andy and Randy for probably a few more minutes, hopefully. We'll be pulling in here any time now. I just looked at the text line and the Bird app during the break. Man, people are not happy. People are not. Where's Andy and Randy? What the heck is this crap? Well, I know. Like, this was not the plan. Maybe you're just joining us again. This is not the plan.
That text line can be a very cruel place.
Oh, it's fine. You have to have a thick skin to do this, right? Like, but no, this is not the plan. Our plan was, and still continues to be, in fact, it'll probably be coming up in the next 20 or 30 minutes, Andy and Randy speaking with Jeff Albrecht, the Falcons' newly hired defensive coordinator today. And the plan was we were going to be up at the Ticketmaster studio in Flowery Branch and do that interview in person. And we figured out about 10 minutes before the start the scheduled start of our show today that there was a miscommunication, and that as a result of that miscommunication, we would not be able to do the show in Flowery Branch. So I, as calmly as I could, requested that Andy and Randy and Abe come back from Flowery Branch to Midtown Atlanta to do the show here from the studio. And they're hustling. I got a message from Abe a moment ago. He thinks he's like 2 or 3 minutes out. So that's good. We might see Abe here pretty soon. But just when they get here, dear listener, when Andy and Randy get here and Abe, just go easy on them. They've had a very stressful morning, and it's not their fault. Like Ed on Twitter, this is Abe's fault, right? It is definitely not Abe's fault. It is definitely not Abe's fault. Do not give Abe a hard time. It takes a village to run a radio station. And a lot of moving parts, especially when we put broadcasts together on short notice. And we fumbled today. And the guys I feel the worst for are Andy and Randy, because, and to a lesser extent, Abe. Although Abe will get over. Abe tends to be very resilient. Like, he doesn't, he kind of lets things slide off his back pretty quickly. I think Abe's got a kind of high on life attitude when it comes to, hey, I'm working at a sports talk radio station and hosting and producing, and life is good. So I'm not worried about Abe coming in here and being angry. I am a little bit more worried about Andy and Randy coming in here and being angry. But I should not be the target of their anger, because this was not my fault. I'm not going to say on the air whose fault it was, but it was not my fault. That's good leadership, right? It's not my 100%. Fault. But it really wasn't. It really was. I would fall on the sword if it was my fault. I'm sure a lot of you out here who are listening, who, you know, might have direct reports or, a management job of some kind. You know, they always say that managers should hold themselves accountable for everything that happens under that. Well, yes. However, I can promise you this is not my fault. Oh, boy. Anyhow, Jeff Albrecht did complete a press conference in Flowery Branch a few moments ago. Our Smoking Joe Patrick was up there and was able to send back some sound. And I liked hearing this from Jeff Albrecht. Getting to the quarterback, big priority coming up here in 2025.
There's no great defense that's ever lived in this league that didn't affect the quarterback. You know, and you got to affect the quarterback in two ways. Either we affect him physically, get him off the spot, sack him, hit him, or we affect him from the standpoint of from a coverage perspective, and we try to confuse him. So last year, and again, I gotta really reserve my comments until I really take a deep dive on this defense and really learn at the highest level to make those comments. But I do, like, you can't thrive in this league from a defensive perspective without good pass rush.
Sack your top priority?
Affecting the quarterback is my top priority. Getting them off the spot, hits, all those things, you know. And in New York, we did that at a high clip. You know, it's a combination of a lot of things, though. It's not just the men's all the time. Sometimes it's the scheme. Sometimes it's the context of the game. There's a lot of things that go into that. In New York, we didn't operate with a ton of leads, you know. So that's another factor that doesn't always get accounted for. You know, where you get opportunities to let your guys jump out their shoes and just go.
Like it. Really honest answer. Really honest answer. Some nuance to that as well. All of it, obviously, is going to come down to the personnel that he has to work with. And I think we drove that point home pretty firmly in the wake of his hiring last weekend that, you could get anyone to run this defense. It only matters to the extent of having personnel that's capable of executing whatever he's calling. And clearly, there is a need for the Falcons to address the pass rush from a personnel standpoint this offseason, whether it be in the draft or free agency or somewhere else. Abe did make it back, by the way. So Abe is here. What do you think on Randy? Give me a ballpark. 5 minutes, you think? Okay. Which probably means 15 for Andy, right? About. He nods. But he's smiling. I told you, Abe would not be unhappy. Abe's always a pretty positive guy. So I'm reassured that at least one member of the trio is cool at the moment. What else do we have from Jeff Albrecht? Bo Johnson, let's dial up some other. This literally just came in, so this is why we're a little bit unprepared right now. But Jeff Albrecht speaking to the media in the last half hour or so in Flowery Branch, and he is going to join Andy and Randy live over the phone coming up here, and we think the next 15 or 20 minutes here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do you have, Bo?
We got one. This is Jeff Holbrook explaining how he is a different person from when the last time that he was here.
You know, when we came around here the first time, you know, we were implementing the old Seattle system, you know, and the Seattle system had some amazing strengths to it, and it did some things that were, at the time, fairly revolutionary in some ways, and I loved it and believed in it. You know, it's just the game has changed. It really has. Like, these offensive coordinators are absolute pains in my butt because it's not like the old day of, all right, you play cover three, here's the three beaters. You play cover four, here's the quarters beaters. Here's the. It's not that way anymore. They watch your tape, they learn your rules, and then they beat you ways that you've never been beat before. So because of that, you need more variety in coverage. You need more multiplicity in the front. You need more scheme, you know, and so that's where I've changed completely. Really, you know, I want to provide the players with the best opportunity to be successful on game day. Well, sometimes just playing the same coverage over and over again, you're not doing that. You're actually putting their chin out there and letting people take haymakers, you know. So from that way, I've grown a lot.
I really admire Jeff Ulbrich when he was here in his first stint. In fact, I thought when Dan Quinn got fired mid-season in 2020, that Jeff Ulbrich was going to be the interim head coach. I thought at that time he was ready for that. Now, obviously, they went with Raheem Morris, and Raheem had some decent success, all things considered. But I was really, really high on Jeff Ulbrich then, and I continue to be it. Look, if you were to take a blind resume and look at where Ulbrich's defenses in New York ranked relative to the rest of the NFL last season, and put the name off to the side, you know, cross out the name, it's just a blind resume, I think most Falcons fans would be extremely pleased. They'd find that resume to be more than adequate. Of course, he's been here before, and that's lent to, you know, the narrative from some, not from me, but from others, that maybe this was a little bit of a safe, comfortable hire for the Falcons because they went with someone they were familiar with. Ultimately, we're going to get to make our own judgments once the 2025 season begins. But today was the introductory press conference for Jeff Ulbrich up in Flowery Branch. And again, stay tuned. He is going to speak live with Andy and Randy in hopefully about 15, 20 minutes, Bill.
So here is another one from Jeff Ulbrich about how he and Raheem Morris can be better together this time around.
I'm a different human being, and he is as well. You know, it was just as much as I'd like to say, you know, I wish we would have stayed these past 4 years and never left and just kept it rolling. We needed that opportunity to leave. He needed it to leave to really get to know Sean and the way he did things. And for myself to spend 4 years with Robert Saleh and the rest of the coaches that I got exposed to in New York, it just provided just unbelievable growth, not just schematically, but how to build a defensive roster, how to communicate with the building, all of it. So I really believe, although my core principles are the same in many ways, my football brain is in a completely different place.
Yeah, the roster building element of that comment I think is interesting too, and what role is Jeff Ulbrich going to have in the team building process through free agency and the draft? Hopefully a big one. So I think that element of that answer is very, very enlightening. Okay, two-thirds of the traveling party have returned. I'm going to give Randy a second just to get calmed down. We need to have a cooling off period maybe. You know, like when they open the locker room after a game, they give you like a 10-minute cooling off period before you stick a microphone in someone's face. We're going to give Randy a small cooling off period. Abe, however, so when I called you on a level of 1 to 10, how angry were you about this situation?
I don't get angry.
Okay.
I was obviously listening to you start the show as I was driving back. It's kind of the same thing. If it was something that I made a mistake about,
I'd be
upset.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I don't know how behind the scenes we want to go, but
not very.
Well, no. Yeah. But we know we lost Mike, or Jersey Mike is heading back to New York, and
yes.
So he normally would have been our engineer.
Yes,
and so.
But this had nothing to do with the identity of the engineer.
Correct. But you know me, and I'm like, I get to every – like, I was there at, like, 9:45 today. Yep. Like, I get there very early, earlier than probably most producers would. I get there before the engineer quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, when do I start to panic that it, that an engineer is not there? Like, that's – like, I can't be 50 minutes before,
well, because,
right? I can't panic at 10:10.
Because, to be fair, these types of – I'm going to call it an accident. These types of accidents – really don't happen frequently. So when you ask, like, okay, how long before you reach the panic mode, usually, like, 999 times out of 1,000, it tends to work out. This is – maybe that's a little
I think I reached out to you at, like, 10:30.
10:30. You're right.
And yeah. For me, it was kind of like – just kind of putting this on your radar.
Yeah.
Because at 10:30, it's like,
that's
right.
Unusual. Like, I mean, by then, it's...
But again, I hadn't worked with this engineer a ton, and yeah. So I don't necessarily know. A lot of times when we have done broadcasts from Flowery, Steakhouse is there, and morning shift's already
and
there.
And then you're kind of coming
so
into it.
So we're already
it.
There
yeah.
and set up. Yeah. So I didn't want to presume that his setup timeline is my setup timeline. Although, as Bo knows, as everyone else knows, I prefer checking as early as possible, get there, and then
oh,
go
my,
to your thing.
My wife can't stand it. Like, I'll go to Hawks games 3 hours yeah. before tip-off. Just because I feel like the one game where I don't do that, there's going to be a traffic jam or the overturned truck on the connector or something like that, and I'm going to be – because we don't get the choice. Like, we can't be there late. It's not like we work a 9-to-5 job, and if – you know, something happens on the freeway and we're going to be, it's okay. Like, we've got to be there at a certain time to get the show on time. And usually, I counted all the hours over my life that I have wasted because I left early to get to something because of traffic.
I'm the same way.
Probably devastating.
And so I put it on your radar,
yes.
But still, like, kind of assuming that the engineer would walk in just and I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
And we all know, and Randy can speak to this, my comfort level of timelines and stuff compared to this is just different. And so I kind of put it on your radar, still expecting it to happen, and then it's Randy's here, Andy's here, well, I'm here.
The one I feel the worst for is Randy.
Why the?
Because where you to go from where you live to Flowery Branch, yes. back to here, and now back home.
Yes. I almost called you. It's like when I saw my ex, like, Mike, I can just go home.
I thought
remember
the same yeah. thing,
last
Randy.
Time when I got the flat tire on
yes,
the way
yes,
to work. I'm still in Loomer. I can just run back to the house.
Well, I thought we could still salvage about 2/3 of the show. And indeed, in fact, we're going to get more than 2/3.
Yeah, man.
And I want you talking to Jeff Albrecht, too, because I cannot ask the same type of questions that you could ask. You're far more intelligent as a former NFL player than I am, as a talker,
yeah,
you know, to be able to ask something educated for Jeff Hall.
But you said, you was like, I like your analogy, the cool-off period before
yeah.
and everything. The cool-off period is being stuck in trying to drive through 85 in the rain.
Well, it always ran like Sugarloaf,
and
right?
Amazing.
Was it backed up there again
yes.
today? Yeah,
it's amazing. Like, okay, well, it is what it is. We in the house. Okay. Andy's probably parking right now, and obviously – we'll be in the house.
Yeah, we're really grateful like for you guys hustling yeah. Batman. I'm telling you, the text line, man, they are not happy that you were not here at 11 a.m. But it's all good. Ames here. Randy's here. Bo is here. Andy will be here in a moment. Jeff Albrecht coming up soon, along with the NFL No Huddle and the rest of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game this hour. Brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLY buys.com.